Good morning. Good morning. It's good to see everybody that's here this morning. Glad to have you with us. Glad to have those of you who are with us on our social media platforms. If you're on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, be sure to heart, to like, to share, subscribe, follow us. Do all those things necessary to help get the word out about our services. Want to also welcome those who are on our phone live streaming. If you need that number, see me after the service. We'll be glad to give that to you so that you can share that with others. And if you're at home, just give us a call and we'll be glad to share that with you also. Also want to encourage you to go to our church website if you're at home, HighlandBaptistChurch.com. It's under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin for today. If you're here in person, these are at the doors and some are in the windowsills here to my right and left. We also have our children's worship bulletins. They're in the windowsill to my right, so I want to encourage you to pick those up this morning on your way to Children's Church. If you even if you keep your kids here, I encourage you to do that. You can also download those at home, print those off, use those as an outreach if you like. And then also under that info tab is the prayer list that you can download for this past week. We will update it again this coming Wednesday, even though we won't have services this Wednesday, so you'll be able to find it there online under the info tab, so be sure to take a look at that this coming Wednesday. Also want to welcome those who are our guests this morning. If you're one of our first-time guests, we want to encourage you to pick up one of these gift bags on the sides of the stage or at the doors as you leave. If you brought a guest with you, make sure that they pick one up. It's got some information about our church in the bags, and then it's got some gifts in it that we want to give to you to say thank you for being here with us this morning. So looking forward to a wonderful day of worship with the Lord, our last worship service for 2024. And for some things, we're looking back at 24 and saying, thank goodness it's gone. For others, we're thinking, where did it go? It went so fast. But we are here this morning to worship the Lord. Thank you for being here with us. Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us.
Good morning, all. We're kind of thin back here today. So y'all sing hard, okay? Sing loud. And we have a job to do in 2025. You have a job to do, and it's this song. Go tell it. Go tell what Christ has done for you. Let them know what he's done in your heart and your life. Stand with the choir and let's praise the Lord with 95.
Jesus Christ is born, while shepherds
Amen. As you notice in our bulletin, in our order of service, we are at our missionary moment of the week. Our missionary that we're emphasizing in our bulletins with her story is Jenny Wheeler. She is serving in Greece, and God is using medical missions there, teaching people how to do CPR on those CPR dummy models, and using that to share the gospel with people as they actually do get opportunities to minister to people through that. So pray for Jenny as she mentors believers and uses health care to share the gospel with those who are in need and especially hard to reach places. You'll also notice under that our missionaries to Moldova and some of their prayer requests that are more current, and so want to encourage you to be praying for them also. But we still are emphasizing our Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions. You see our tree over here to my right, to your left, that we're placing the angels on for every 500. We did not get an update in the bulletin for you, so we'll post that this week as soon as the counters get us that information from last Sunday and from this Sunday. And so, but we are wanting to encourage you to continue to pray about giving towards the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. In lieu of that, we've got two videos that we want to share with you this morning, brief videos. One of those is, what does a missionary do? And I just want to encourage you to prayerfully watch that video and maybe even consider what would maybe be God calling you to serve in missions, whether that's locally across our nation or around the world. And then our second video has to do with a gym ministry in the country of Thailand and what God is doing through that. How, you know, God can use all kinds of means of talents and abilities that people have. And you'll hear that wonderful video testimony from there. So watch these two videos prayerfully this morning.
Have you ever wondered what exactly a missionary does? Maybe you're picturing someone in remote places like jungles or villages. It's true, some IMB missionaries serve in remote locations, but you can find spiritual lostness anywhere. Because lostness is found everywhere, IMB missionaries serve everywhere. In modern cities, classrooms, hospitals, gyms, cafes, and virtual reality. Everywhere people gather is an opportunity to share the good news of God's love. In Africa, doctors cure physical ailments and disease, but also share Jesus with all they serve. Even in bustling locations like Japan, teaching English can lead to gospel conversations. In Europe, there are missionary coaches who lead a team, yet also lead through evangelism and discipleship. Beyond the cities to the most remote places, missionary explorers are trained to search for and find the lost who have never heard the gospel. There's not just one type of missionary, nor is the gospel confined to one location. Each missionary brings their unique passions, experiences, and skills to the mission field to reach the unreached in creative ways. God has uniquely created you with your own passions, experiences, and skills. How will you use them faithfully? You can be a missionary and reach the lost with the gospel. That's what a missionary does.
So for the church, when I kind of had this idea of starting a church in a gym, you know, people are like, what are you doing? So when we moved to Chiang Rai, we had to study language, and I was not a very good language learner, and I was stressed out. I had even told my wife in the midst of that, I said, I'm ready to move back to America. I'm done living overseas. So I heard about this gym that was doing workouts. They had just opened 5 minutes from my house. I came and worked out and I was exhausted. I went home and I told my wife, I said, it's horrible. You should come too. And so she started coming. And so we saw the value in that and the community that was here. People loved to come here. They loved to hang out here. The gym was becoming a bridge from Thai culture into sharing the gospel and sharing Christ with people. And so I said, let's do church here. When we set up church, we set up boxes to sit on and we sat on these benches. We didn't have anything. We used the equipment that we had at the gym to do church. So the first day I met Net, he had come, he had worked out, and I noticed the earring. He had a cross earring.
After workout, he asked me about my earring that I wear for like 2-3 years before I came to the gym. Like, I like your earring. Are you a Christian?
He goes, no, you know, it's just fashion. And so I was able to just share with him about Christ and what the cross actually meant.
I have one day that I decide to go to church. The sermon is Prodigal Son. It's like, he's sitting there. He don't even talk about the thing that I have done to him. He give me the ring that I come back to be a shy.
He accepted Christ that week within just a few days. He is the example that we have here at the gym of how Christ can change your life, of saying, God changed my life. I walked through these doors as a non-believer, somebody who didn't even know God, and he has completely changed my life, and he can do that for you too.
And what a powerful testimony. You don't always think of a missionary being a gym teacher. And so God is using people in all kinds of ways and means to share the good news of the gospel. May you pray about God using you, even if it's in a short-term way, to go on a mission trip this coming year. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for our missionaries of the week, Jenny Wheeler, the missionaries in Moldova, and our international missions offering. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessings that you've given to us. Thank you for your presence here with us this morning. And we come before you, Lord, asking you to bless Jenny Wheeler, who's serving in Greece. Lord, open up opportunities there for her to mentor believers and to use healthcare, Lord, to bring the gospel to people in need, especially in those hard-to-reach places. Lord, we pray that you would help us to look into our hearts and to listen to your voice speaking to us, Lord, that maybe you want to use our giftedness in some way, some shape, some form in missions in this coming year. And so, Father, I pray that we would take that step to just begin a step and one step at a time, one day at a time, to follow you, to be more faithful in our walk with you, and whatever that may look like for each one of us may be different. But Father, I pray that you will help us to step out following you to be the missionaries that you've called us to be. And we pray for our international missionaries, those in Thailand, those serving in many other places around this world, and we just ask your blessings upon them, Lord. You've blessed us to be a blessing to the nations of the world, and I pray that we would be a blessing through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions. So, Lord, lay upon our hearts what you would have us to give. Continue, God, to impress upon our hearts to pray for our international missions and to go when you open those opportunities for us. Bless this service this morning as we come to worship you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Let me just remind you, especially for those of you who are at home, you can go to our church website at highlandbaptistchurch.com. Just go over to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab. You can do your regular online giving there. You can do your Lottie Moon Christmas offering giving there. We have both of these envelopes in the pews as well as in the windows for you if you're here in person this morning. So encourage you to give your gift and your tithes this morning. And so there are some things in your bulletins you'll want to pay attention to. Some upcoming events. We're winding up the year of 24, as we said, this week, and beginning a new year on Wednesday. The church offices will be closed on Wednesday, so just wanted to remind you of that. And just want to encourage you to be praying about giving towards this. Each, as we said earlier, each one of the angels that are placed on the Christmas tree represent $500 that's been given to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. So thank you for your giving thus far, and look forward to the rest of the service. Brother Mike.
Screen. But we're going to sing hymn 121, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne, and I'll remind you one verses 1, 2, 5, or 4 and 5. 1, 2, 4, and 5. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Heaven's arches ring when the angels sing, proclaiming thy royal decree. But of lowly birth didst thou come to earth, and in great humility. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Thou camest, O Lord, with the living word that should set thy people free. But with mocking scorn and with crown of thorn, thy coming to victory. Let thy voice call me home, saying, yet there is room at my side for me. My heart shall rejoice, Lord Jesus, when thou comest and callest for me. Thank you. Children's Church will be gathering over here on the piano side. And please stand with us if you would now and let's sing our hymn, Oh, How Great Thou, How Great Our Joy, hymn 108.
Praise be the Lord in heaven on high.
Amen. We're going to do something just a little bit different than what we have been doing on Sunday mornings. It's not even in your bulletin. But as we were welcoming one another at the beginning of the service, we were playing a song, and I wanted to share that song with you once again so you could hear the words. It's a perfect setup for the message that we're going to be looking at in Psalm 67. So prayerfully listen to this song this morning.
Yeah.
San Jose, California. What a wonderful blessing that song is to remind us that he came in a manger in all of his glory. He died on a cross in all of his glory. He arose from the grave in all of his glory. And one day, he's coming again in all of his glory. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. We're going to read one verse as we stand this morning. So if you would, my message is entitled, God Bless Us, Everyone. Remember that phrase. We'll come back to it in just a moment. But Psalm 67, verse 1, as we stand to read God's word in honor of his word. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Selah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you did send your Son in all of his glory. When we celebrated his birth this past week, Father, I pray that we would be celebrating him every day of our lives, as believers especially, knowing, Lord, that not only was he born in that manger, he lived that perfect sinless life, died on that cross, was buried in the tomb, and arose on the third day, and one day is coming again. Father, I pray from this passage this morning from the psalmist, Lord, that you will use it to speak into our hearts your blessing. Lord, for some, for many, it has been a rough year. And Father, we need some blessing. Others, Lord, you have blessed us over this past year. And Lord, I pray that we would not take those blessings for granted that you've given to us. Father, we do pray as this first verse begins and says, Lord, may you be gracious to us. We don't deserve anything, Lord, that you've given to us. May your grace be upon us. And Lord, may you bless us. Bless us, Lord, with all the heavenly blessings in Christ Jesus. And Lord, may you make your face to shine upon us in this coming new year, to shine upon us as individuals, to shine upon us as a church. Lord, to bless us as we've never been blessed before, to reach new heights that we've never reached before, not because of anything we might do, but because of all that you're doing in and through us. We ask your blessings on your word this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Let me ask you this morning, did any of you get to watch A Christmas Carol on TV? I see some people. Some people like to watch those Christmas movies. That's one of the classics there, is the Christmas Carol. It's a timeless classic on the spirit of Christmas. And if you remember, towards the end of the story, if you've read the book, or if you watched the movie or watched even some of the cartoons, you'll remember that the story there, you remember near the end of the story, the beloved Tiny Tim says those infamous words that I've given the title to my message this morning, God bless us, everyone. Let me ask you, who wouldn't want the blessing of God on their life, on their community, on your family, on this city, on this nation, or even this entire world? I mean, think about it. Can you think of anything that's greater that could happen to you or to your loved ones than to know that the blessing and the favor of God rests upon you? You know, I believe deep down that we're all born with a desire to be blessed. People who are religious and people who are non-religious. People who are spiritual and people who are secular. We can't help ourselves but to talk about whether we're getting a blessing or whether we're being a blessing to someone else. You know, when somebody sneezes, what do you say? Bless you. Traditionally, when a man wants to marry a woman, usually, that doesn't always happen today, but it used to, you go to the father and you ask for his blessing. People from all walks of life feel a desire to ask God to bless even the food that we eat. We say a blessing. We'll probably say a blessing this afternoon before we eat our lunch. We look for and desire and seek blessing. So as we come to the end of this year, having read through, God has blessed us. We've been trying to encourage people to read through God's Word. I've been able to read through the Old Testament once this year. The New Testament coming up on the end of this month will be four times this year. And then reading the Psalms and the Proverbs 12 times. And so I encouraged each person here to be a part of our group on our Bible app, to be a part of those Bible reading plans. And I encourage you as you begin this new year to get into God's Word and to follow a Bible reading plan, to read all the way through the Bible. You know, there as you come to this to the Bible here, it's a blessing for us. And as we come to the close of this year's sermons and this year's services, I have two messages that I'm going to give, one this morning, one tonight. There's a lot of you who don't come on Sunday night or Wednesday night. So I'd encourage you, if you can't come tonight, watch us online to hear that second message in the book of Psalms. It'll be from Psalm 121. But the Psalms are songs. Songs that were written, they're some of the most beautiful songs, some of the most beautiful lyrics that were ever put down on paper. They're found in this book, the Bible. They're found in this book, the book of Psalms. They are about some of the most beautiful songs and lyrics that we've ever seen here. An anonymous songwriter here for Psalm 67 writes these beautiful ancient words in this song here that isn't listened to very much. You may not even be familiar with Psalm 67. If I was to say Psalm 23, that would instantly click in your mind, and you would begin to think of the passage there, that he is our shepherd, the Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want. So there are passages in Psalms that are familiar to us, but Psalm 67 is probably one of those that's not been on your radar. As you look at these words here, it describes just how great God and his blessings are. The wonderful thing is that blessings are for everybody. Everybody who wants them, everybody who will seek after them. And so this particular psalm, Psalm 67, is not one that's very well known. Probably if you made a list of the top 40 songs, kind of like we listen to the radio and you hear those top 40 songs, If you were to make a top 40 list of the Psalms in the Bible that are written in this book, Psalm 67 probably wouldn't make the list. Most commentators that you read who even deal with this psalm do it at most a page or two. Martin Luther, who wrote five large volumes of studies on the book of Psalms, he didn't even think this psalm was important enough to include it. But when you study this psalm and you listen to this beautiful song here again, I hope that you will see some of the greatest blessings that we who are believers enjoy every day, and even a blessing here that the entire world enjoys every day. So whether you're a believer or a non-believer here this morning, there is a blessing for you. God's blessing really is the gift that keeps on giving. So I want to share with you this morning four things that we get every day because of the blessings of God. Here's the first. Understand this, God's blessing gives us grace. God's blessing gives us grace. You see this in verse 1 down through verse 3. You know, when we think of blessings, our mind generally goes or navigates, moves to one of three things. We think about people as being a blessing. We talk about being blessed with a great family. We talk about being blessed with great friends, or being blessed with a great spouse, or being blessed with great employees, or being blessed with a great boss. And so we think of people as a blessing. And then, of course, many people, when they think of blessings, immediately think of possessions. So we think about being blessed with a big house. We're blessed with a nice car. We're blessed with clothes. We're blessed with a big paycheck. We're blessed with vacations we get to take. Others, when they think of blessing, begin to think about position. You think about the blessing of being a president of a company or an owner of a company, or being maybe a principal of a school or the coach of a team or the pastor of a church or any other number of leadership positions. But this songwriter here in Psalm 67 points out the greatest blessing of all, which is God Himself. Look again with me at verse 1. He begins, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us." Selah. Now that little word there, Selah, just so I make that little side note there, is sometimes thought of as that may be a pause in the song for emphasis, to think about what you just sang in those words if you were singing this psalm. So what the psalmist is saying here is that the greatest blessing of all is God Himself. That's the greatest blessing of God, is God Himself. When you have the face of God shining on you and the mouth of God smiling at you, there's not a better place to be or a greater blessing to receive. It is so interesting and amazing how much a facial expression can put a knot in your gut or can put joy in your heart. It can make you feel like a million bucks, or it can make you feel like a counterfeit penny. You can speak volumes just turning your face away from someone. Think about that. When you go home this afternoon, you turn your face away from your wife or your husband. That immediately communicates through your body language a message to that loved one. You meet a coworker at work this coming Monday, and you encounter that coworker, and it's somebody who gets on your nerves all the time, and you turn your face away, or maybe you give a scowl or a frown. He's coming. I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to talk to her. That communicates something, even if you don't say a word. But when somebody turns their face towards you, and they communicate to you with a smile on their face, that means they're coming with peace. They're coming with good news. They're not coming with bad news. You see somebody coming with a frown on their face, or maybe even tears coming out of their eyes, you know they're about to bring you some bad news. But when somebody comes with a smile on their face, it communicates joy and peace. When they come with that glow, that shine on their face, you don't need words to know how they feel. The reason why this psalmist is asking for God's blessing in a shining face to turn toward us is because it signals the two greatest things we want from another person: love and acceptance. If you don't get anything else from this message this morning, please get this point. If you're here as a believer, you don't trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I don't care who you are, get this point this morning. Here's the point. No matter who else rejects you, nothing matters more than if God accepts you. And no matter who hates you, nothing matters more than if God loves you. And I want to tell you this morning that God does accept you and God does love you. So no matter who else rejects you, nothing matters more than if God accepts you. And no matter who hates you, nothing matters more than if God loves you. Now, you may be thinking that we're trying to over-spiritualize God's blessings here, that maybe I'm trying to ignore the material blessings that we have. I'm not. But I do want to challenge you with this, get this truth: not everything that we consider a blessing is a blessing. Not everything that we consider a blessing is a blessing. If the greatest spiritual blessing of all, which is the favor and the love and the acceptance of God and knowing Him, doesn't serve as the foundation of all our other blessings, including our possessions, including those material things that He's blessed you with, then the other blessings can wind up becoming a curse, because we substitute them for God, and then that if we have them, we begin to feel like, if I've got those things, I don't need God. That's what happens to so many people who don't understand the purpose of God's blessings to begin with. Notice what even the psalmist says as we pick up at the end of verse 1 again. He says, and make his face to shine upon us, Selah. Why? Notice verse 2. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. So understand what the psalmist is reminding us and telling us here is that the purpose of God's blessing isn't so that we will marvel at how blessed we are. You are blessed, and you ought to marvel at that. But it's not just for us to marvel at how wonderful the God who has, that we are blessed. It's that people in the nations of the world will marvel at how wonderful God, the God who has blessed us is, and the purpose of God's blessing on us is, so that we will testify that all of our blessings come from God, so that others can know the God who wants to bless everyone. That's why God has blessed you. He has blessed you not just for you, but for you to be a blessing to others. Think about that for a moment. We're not to become barricades or dams holding back God's blessings. We're to be channels. We even sing that, don't we? Make me a channel, a blessing today. We're to be channels or sources of his blessing to flow through us, not just for us, but to others. We're not blessed just to be blessed, but we're blessed to be a blessing. So I want to encourage you to really think hard this morning. Think hard about this past year, because for some, you're stuck in the circumstances you faced. You're stuck in the storms you went through, in the losses and the hurts and the pains and the griefs you've experienced over this last year. But I want you to work hard and to think back and even to look at God's word and to be reminded of all the blessings God has given to you. God's blessing gives us grace so that in turn we share with others the best news of all, that God wants to share his grace with everyone. You see, his blessing to the entire human race is nothing less, nothing else, nothing but the salvation of God. His blessing gives us grace. Notice secondly, that God's blessing gives us guidance. Listen to one verse in this song. It's verse 4. Verse 4 says this, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth, Selah. So who's the you he's talking about in the song? He's talking about God. It's God who gives us the guidance. It's God who judges the people with equity and guides the nations upon the earth. You know, at the end of the day, presidents win, presidents lose. Kings live, kings die. Dictators come and dictators go. But today, the blessing of God is that God rules over all the earth with equity, and God guides the nations of the earth. Now, it doesn't always seem that way to us, but the Bible tells us this truth. So understand this truth, that even though it may not always look like it, you can know from God's word with 100% confidence that God is using every nation, every government, every ruler that is in place to move the flow of history to where he ultimately wants it to go. Here's what Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1 says. It says that the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of God. Of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. God isn't just, think about this, God isn't just an American God. God isn't just a Russian God or a Japanese God or a French God or a Korean God. Not that he's not whatever any nation wants him to be, but he is Lord over all the earth. Psalm 24, verse 1 says this, and verse 2. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Jesus Christ is Lord over every square inch of land, over every single drop of water. He's in charge, and he's the one who's running the show. Now, sometimes as we look at the show, we wonder, what in the world's he doing? We don't understand why things are happening the way they're happening. But God is using all of those events that are happening around us, because he rules over all the peoples of the earth, and he guides the nations, the psalmist tells us. He guides us individually. He guides us individually to the light when we're in the darkness. He guides us to the safety when we're in the midst of the storm. But in his own way, using his own methods for his own purposes, he guides the nations too. That's why even our politics have to keep God in mind. That's why we ought to pray for political leaders of both parties. That's why we ought to pray for the president, regardless of whoever he or she may be. That's why we ought to pray for the leaders of other countries, because God does guide. His hand, if you will, is on the steering wheel, and I don't think anybody could deny that this world would be 180 degrees different from what it is today if every nation truly lived and believed that they were one nation under God. If you've ever read about lighthouses, you'd find out that there are two kinds of lighthouses, at least. Some are built near the rocky reefs, the dangerous coastlines. And the light from those lighthouses is designed to prevent ships from getting too close to a destructive area. That's why that light is shining there. They don't want them to hit the reef that's under the water or to hit those rocks that are along the shore. Their lights designed to prevent ships from getting too close to that destructive area. Other lighthouses, though, are built near the mouth of bays and other waterways to guide sailors into safety and security. Think about this. In a world that is drowning in a sea of moral confusion, that is battered from side to side in the storm of life, by some people saying that this is right and this is wrong, while others say exactly the opposite, understand that no matter what this world says and no matter what this world is doing, there's a God in heaven who has given us his word to be a lighthouse, to show us as individuals, to show us as churches, to show us as communities, to show us as a nation the right way to live, the right way to think, how to navigate through the darkest storms of life that hit us all. God's blessing gives us grace, and his blessing gives us guidance. You may have been through some storms this past year, but God's light has been shining all the time to guide you safely to the harbor. Sometimes we refuse to look at it or listen to it or to heed its warning. Thirdly, I want you to see, God's blessing gives us gladness. It gives us gladness. Go back to verse 3. You know, I've told you this truth many times before. It bears repeating again here, that any time a thought or a phrase is repeated in the scriptures, it's the Bible's way of really emphasizing something. So when you come across the page, especially if it's in a short section where something's repeated over and over, it's there to emphasize you better pay attention to what's being said. There's a repetition of a verse in this psalm that goes like this in verse 3. In verse 3 it says, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Look a few verses down to verse 5. And verse 5 says, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. You know, when I think about that sometimes, especially in our church services, we tend to be a little stoic. We don't want to maybe clap our hands in the midst of a song. Sometimes we don't want to raise our hand. We don't want to say amen to what the preacher preaches, because he might go a little too long if you say that. When he says this, we ought to praise. The nations ought to be glad, ought to praise the Lord, oh God. Let all the peoples praise you. When it's said twice, it means we ought to listen twice as much. In this case, we ought to praise twice as much. You have some things to praise the Lord about in 2024. Yeah, maybe you had some rough days, but there are some things that you could praise the Lord for today, and you ought to doubly praise Him because of what He's done. There are some things that are going to happen in your life in 25 that are going to discourage you. You're going to face some storms. You're going to think, where are the blessings? But I want you to keep looking to the light of God's Word, to the light of His truth. God's blessing ought to make us glad. We ought to be glad that God rules all the people. We ought to be glad that God guides all the nations. We ought to be glad that God's salvation is available for every person. We ought to be glad for all the goodness that God brings to our lives every day. Did you know that the word blessing is mentioned over 415 times in the Old Testament alone? A preacher once said this. He said, I find it funny that we swim every day in the ocean of God's blessing and God's goodness, and we don't even realize that we're wet, because we don't pay attention to the blessings He's blessed us with. Most of the time, as we said before, when we think of blessings, we think of material blessings, things that can be built, things that can be bought. But some of the greatest blessings we experience every day are blessings that can only be given. Think about the blessing of being able to reach out and touch someone. Did you know there's people who can't even do that in this world? They can't touch someone with their hand because they don't even have a hand to touch someone with. Think about the blessing of taste. I had some great food yesterday. Go to my Facebook and you can see I always post food. That food tastes good. Think of the blessing of tasting. That's a blessing for us. Think of the blessing to see. There's a lot of people who cannot see visually. They're in complete darkness with their eyes. There are people who cannot hear, and you have the blessing of being able to hear. There's the blessing to feel, the blessing to laugh, the blessing to love. Those are blessings that can only be given. To make the point, notice what the psalmist continues with in verse 6. In verse 6, he says this, the earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. Why would the songwriter write here about a harvest right in the middle of the blessings of God? It was because in that day, in that culture, this was an agricultural society. And one of the most visible ways that they could see the goodness and the blessing of God was to look at their crops, to look at their harvest. You know, most scholars even believe that this psalm was a harvest song. It was a song that would be sung when people were bringing in their crops, because the most important word to any farmer is harvest. Think about it. That word is the difference between plenty and poverty. It's the difference between surviving and thriving. It's the difference between life and death. Nothing represents the goodness of God more than a harvest, because you can plow the ground, you can plant the seed, but after all that's been done, it's still up to God. You could do everything right and nothing come up. The truth of the matter is that everything we have, whether it's health or whether it's wealth or whether it's life or liberty and the pursuit of happiness, all of it is the blessing of God. And His blessings are the reason we live from hand to mouth, from His hand to our mouth. God's blessing gives us grace. God's blessing gives us guidance. God's blessing brings gladness to our hearts. But I want you to see fourthly and finally here in verse 7 that God's blessing gives Him glory. Look at verse 7. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. So here in this final verse, the psalmist shows us what happens when we realize that it's God who gives us grace, it's God who gives us guidance, it's God who gives us gladness, it's God who gives us goodness. What happens is that we acknowledge that to everybody we see and hear so that He gets the glory. That's so important that we recognize God's blessing. Understand this, we can't expect the world to let God guide them if we're not going to allow God to bless us with His guidance. We can't expect the world to desire God's grace if we don't testify of the blessing of God's grace. If we don't experience the gladness that ought to come by knowing that we're blessed by God, how in the world will we make this world that is mad and sad know that God wants to bless them? You see, ultimately, every single thing that God does isn't just for our good. It's not even primarily for our good. The scripture tells us here it is for His glory. The psalmist closes and says here, God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. God desires all of the earth to fear Him and to give Him the reverence and the respect and the response that He deserves and to give Him the worship and the witness that He desires and to give Him the love and the obedience that He demands. Let me say this to every believer who's here this morning. If you want others to give God glory, then you have to give God glory. If you want others to honor God, you've got to honor God. When you go back to the first verse, if you know your Old Testament, you'll realize what the psalmist here is actually referring to in verse 1 is a prayer that Moses prayed in the book of Exodus, in Exodus 33. In that prayer, he asked God for three things. He asked that God would teach him His ways so that he could know Him and find favor with Him. And then he prayed that God would never take His presence away from him or the people of Israel. And then he prayed that he might look on God's face and see His glory. And when you go back and you look at that story, you find that God granted the first two of those requests. But then he says this in Exodus 33 and verse 20 about the third one. He says, but he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. But I want to tell you, that was true until Jesus came. Everybody that looked into His face and looked into His eyes, and they were looking into the face and the eyes of God. Understand that the way that we will see God in all of His glory is when all the redeemed people of this world, drawn from every tribe and every tongue and every nation, come before His throne, and every race is bathed in His amazing grace, and then we will see Him face to face, and what a blessing that will be. It's all because of the greatest blessing of all. When God sent His Son to be born in that lowly manger, to live a perfect sinless life, to die on that cross, to come back from the dead, so that we could have eternal life in our hearts. Here's what I want to challenge you and say to you this morning as we close. May God bless us, everyone, in this new year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. So often we forget about the blessings that you've given to us. Lord, what a blessing, as we heard in the song earlier, the blessing of the glory of God being laid in a little manger in Bethlehem, in a stable where animals were fed. And yet, he was there in all of his glory and splendor. And he lived that perfect, sinless life in all of his glory. Even though he was fully human, he was still fully divine. And when he came to die on that cross, he willingly laid down his life for us. And we didn't even deserve it. And you gave us the blessing of your grace and your mercy, the blessing of your salvation. That when Jesus arose from that grave on the third day, giving victory over death, hell, and the grave, he gave us that opportunity. There's an opportunity that's here this morning for some who are here, Lord, to come to faith in Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I pray they'll come. Lord, to come and say, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. I believe Jesus died on that cross for me. I believe he arose from the grave on the third day for me. Jesus, come into my life and save me and change my life and help me to live for you all the days of my life. I repent of my sin. I turn away from it and I turn to follow you. Change my heart." Lord, may there be someone who comes this morning to do that. But Lord, there are many of us who are here as believers, and we've got the "oh, woe is me's" this morning. We look back over this year and we think, "Wow, how did I even make it?" And we think of all the discouraging things that have happened, and yet so many blessings. Just the fact that we're here this morning, what a blessing that is. Help us, Lord, to count those blessings precious, never to take them for granted. And Lord, help us to declare those blessings to the nations of the world, that they too would want to know that God that we know, who wants to bless them like he's blessed us. Father, may all the nations fear him. May we give praise to the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand as we come to our invitation. We're going to sing "Room at the Cross," number 315. Would you stand? Would you come this morning as the Lord lays on your heart for salvation, for church membership, maybe to just simply pray at the altar? Would you come?
you still come this morning?
Continue on.
The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in pain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross.
You can all be seated. I'm going to ask you all if y'all want to go ahead and come. This is Lily and Jude Murray. They both had accepted Christ as Lord and Savior and prayed to ask him into their hearts back before Ben ever had his surgery. And so this was the first opportunity they've had this morning. And what a great way to finish this year out and coming to publicly profess that faith in Christ. And we'll set up later with them their baptism. If you're excited for their decision this morning, would you say a hearty amen? Amen. We're so excited for both of you. And after we hear our announcements from Brother Jonathan, we're going to ask them to come back up, and we're going to ask you to come by and encourage them about their decision, and then we'll be having their baptism here in the first of the year to start off a brand new year. So, Brother Jonathan, if you'll come.
Miss Rima has a short announcement this morning.
For a long time, God has been tugging at my heart to gather women together to study his word. And I've put him off a lot until just a couple of months ago when he has really tugged at my heart. And so as we begin a new year, it's a great time to start something new in our life. So I'd like to invite the women of our church to think about and to consider joining me in Bible study. We're going to do it two times during the week so that it can be more conducive to people's schedules. We'll meet on Sunday afternoons for 4 o'clock, and then on Tuesday mornings around 10 o'clock. So if either of those two times would fit into your schedule, we're going to study a wonderful study called Encountering God by Kelly Minter. If you're interested at all, would you please sign up on the sign-up sheet outside the office area? If you're interested in getting a study guide, let me know on that so that we can get those orders. And I hope to see you in the middle of January. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Rima. We have a couple more announcements. The chili cook-off, Pastor Matt, let me know it's going to be February 1st, and he's going to put a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board out in the hallway here. Remember, no service Wednesday night. Prayer concerns, please be with the Barton family. And he is, I have a note from the family. It says the family of Susie Barton would like to thank our church family for your prayers and acts of kindness during her illness and her passing. So please keep them in your prayers. Also, Lee and Sue Stevenson, please keep them in your prayers. They're having a lot of issues with his health. And the Doyle Richardson, the stepfather of Jim Daughtry, passed away at 89 after an extended illness. So please keep the Daughtry family and the Richardson family in your prayers, please. If they need more announcements, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. It's time to come together and hear your word preached, Lord. Thank you for the message that Brother Jim brought us, and please help for us to remember that you are blessing us always, Lord. Please give us a heart of prayer and worship when we go and throughout the week, and recognize your blessings upon us, Lord, and be a blessing to others, Lord. Please forgive us where we've had you, and thank you for the salvation we have through you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.